This is Africa Tech Kin with Danny That Guy. Logging into biggest tech stories in Zimbabwe, Africa, and the world, right here on ZFM Stereo.
Welcome to the Africa Tech Kin right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. I'm your host, Danny That Guy, and I have the privilege for the next 20, 25 minutes to be your guide through the sometimes complicated world that is technology. We do this every week straight after the news at 7 p.m. On a Tuesday, and we talk some of the week's big technology news. Sometimes we have a chance to speak to some of the technology movers and shakers, as we did last week with Mr. Winston Ritson. But for this week, we have a lot of news to discuss. First of all, one of the country's big names in technology, or former big names in technology, Telecel, have hit the corporate rescue button. We're going to talk a little bit about that news item that came out this week. We're also going to put on our tech ombudsman hat as the self-appointed ombudsman that pay attention to how technology is moving in the public sector and in the government. We're going to see some ways that the government has been introducing, for example, AI-powered grain silos. What is that? What does that even mean? We're going to dig into that from a front page headline that came out last week. What about the ZRP having a plan for having Starlink at police roadblocks? We'll talk about that as well. And of course, we've got Harare's smart water meters, a big controversial story as well that came out in the past week. We're also going to pay attention to the continent. Here in Africa, a huge investment story. The world's most valuable company, Nvidia, have invested almost $1 billion in Africa. And one of the big receivers taking a big chunk of that pie is Zimbabwean founded Cassava Technologies. We'll talk a little bit about that. And some stories about cybercrime and also international technology news coming through out from China. So a lot to talk about. Get your thoughts ready. The number is 0772-168-045, or you can drop a hashtag Africa Tech Kin on your favorite social media platform. It could be X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We're all there. Follow ZFM Stereo across all those platforms. We'll be having these conversations as well as clips from this show on those platforms that get the conversation going. So, shall we get straight into it? Let's talk our big local story that's coming out from the past week, where we received news that Telecel Zimbabwe was officially placed under corporate rescue last week. Not quite liquidation. Telecel hasn't quite shut down yet, but you could describe this perhaps as the last step before going into a full-on liquidation. Now, corporate rescue is a legal process that is meant to try and protect the company from creditors, while an expert is brought in to try and see how it can be saved and what can be salvaged. We received this news from several places, including the Business Times last week, that reported that a notice was filed with the Master of the High Court and Registrar of Companies, in which the board confirmed that the company was placed under voluntary corporate rescue. The board stressed that the move is designed to rehabilitate the company and does not signify an intention to liquidate. So corporate rescue under Zimbabwean law, it provides this opportunity for financially distressed companies to have supervised rehabilitation, allowing debt restructuring and operational overhaul while avoiding liquidation. This move was approved by Potras, and the goal is to try and perhaps find an investor, restructure the company, basically try to make sure it avoids total collapse, the last-ditch effort to avoid total collapse. This is not a surprise. Many comments so far in the public eye have been, what took so long? We were expecting this because the company has been struggling for several years now, massive debts, shareholder fights, and not just that, the numbers prove that it's a very difficult task ahead of whoever's tasked with the corporate rescue. Honestly, Telecel hasn't really been able to innovate. The most recent reports that we looked at, even here on this show, when we're looking at the Potras sectoral reports, the abridged sector report, we saw that Telecel's market share had collapsed to less than 2%, which is unsustainable. Telecel's active subscriber base is down to 319,000, and they only are operating 17 LTE or 4G base stations at the moment. To give you a little bit of context, Econet has times 100 of that, 1,700 LTE base stations. Telecel does not even have any 5G base stations. So clearly it's not in a position to compete either with subscriber base or with the technology or infrastructure that they have. In terms of the subscriber bleed, Telecel lost 5% of its users in Q2 2025, according to that Potras sectoral report. In Q1, they lost 11.7% of their subscribers. So clearly Telecel has been on a downward spiral for a while. What does this mean for you? Well, If you're one of the 319,000 Telesal subscribers that are still left, it does not mean that your SIM is going to stop working or that you're not able to access data or their services anymore. Nope, you still will be able to, for now. However, we can probably see where the market is going. This is a massive signal as to what the situation is with Telesal. This is a last-ditch effort. If it's successful, great. If not, it could be that a new slot has opened up for a major telecommunications operator here in the country, because all we'll be left is Econet and NetOne. Is there room for a third? Well, if you're an investor, some clear, very important thoughts for you to take into consideration. But also, this is a message for entrepreneurs. This is a message for everyone who's running a business. Innovate or die. There's no sticking in the same place. The pace of technology and the pace of innovation is brutal. So companies need to innovate, keep on moving forward in order to be successful. Would love to hear from you if you're a Telesal subscriber, if you're one of the 319,000 that still uses Telesal. How is the service? How is the data? If you're going to move, which one are you moving to? Is there anything you think that can save Telesal at this point? 0772-168-045 is the WhatsApp number to get in touch. And of course, as mentioned, we're using the hashtag AfricaTechKin. Okay, at this point, let's move on. Let's talk about how the government and the public sector is implementing technology and AI into their operations. We're going to start by paying attention Let's start with this story. This story coming through from the GMB, where President Mnangagwa was in Mutare last week, and this was screamed out on the front page of a newspaper that he was commissioning some AI-powered grain silos. What does that even mean? These smart silos or AI-powered silos that the GMB are commissioning, not just in Mutare, but also throughout the country, are silos that will be housing grain that have all these kinds of sensors in there to monitor temperature, moisture, pests, and so on in real time. Let me allow our president, President Mnangagwa, to explain what they are as he spoke at the commissioning of these AI-powered silos from Mutare.
These modern silos are equipped with digital monitoring systems, automated grain handling technology, and advanced quality control laboratories. These systems enhance grain storage efficiency. They reduce post-harvest losses and ensure national food safety through improved risk monitoring and globally acclaimed management standards.
Well, there you have it. AI-powered grain silos. Who knew? The president went on to explain that these AI-powered grain silos would not just be implemented in Mutare, but throughout the country in several other locations. These sensors hopefully were meant to ensure that we don't continue to lose grain to poor storage. Now, this is potentially a good move for national food security, depending on how well it works. It's good to see it. It's a solid, practical use of AI. But I must admit, I was not expecting to read the sentence or the phrase AI-powered grain silos. So if this works for our national food security, great. I'm all for it. Let's implement technology wherever we need to implement it. But yeah, interesting phrase that is over there. City of Harare. City of Harare this past week started rolling out prepaid smart water meters. The idea behind this is to boost revenue. There's a public-private partnership with two companies in specific, Helcro Water and Laison Technologies, that are working at rolling out these prepaid smart water meters. Last week was the official start of the project and the launch. They started off with several water meters that were implemented out in the avenues just outside the Harare CBD. Now we're going to see as the Harare City Council and potentially other councils around the country want to start implementing these prepaid water systems. Okay, cool. We get it. Prepaid smart water systems that would essentially estimate how much water you're going to use that month. Now, here's the problem. Several residents of Harare have expressed fierce opposition to the idea of prepaid smart water systems. For example, the Combined Harare Residents Association, their officials attended the launch, and they said that they would be monitoring this rollout closely to ensure that it does not lead to the exclusion of poor families who might struggle to buy water credits. One activist spoke on condition of anonymity, saying this is very controversial. Once you disconnect someone for non-payment, you're effectively denying them a constitutional right This can devastate poor households and increase the risk of disease outbreaks. The Harare Residents Trust also said that this was a misguided plan and that it lacked transparency, and they called it another profit-making scheme. So the idea behind these guys is that water is a constitutional right. You cannot deny someone water just because they don't have the money to pay for it, which I understand. But at the same time, if there's an expectation for payment, how is that supposed to be handled? This is the debate rages on. These residents groups also argue that these contracts that were done with these private companies were not done in public. They didn't go to tender. They also claim that these prepaid water systems don't actually solve the real problems of water in Harare, and I guess in the country in general, the massive leakages, the old pipes, the chronic water shortages that we see in our city. So the story is, how can you prepay for water that isn't even there? Valid points are being raised, I must say. So look, this is, regardless of this controversy, the Harare City Council is pushing ahead with this tech project. So the rollout has already started, and we're going to see some more of these smart water systems and smart water meters as they get implemented. But is it solving the right problem? I want to hear your thoughts. Hashtag Africa Tech Kin, the number 0772-168-045. Let's take this opportunity to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with some more technology stories. I'm your host, Danny That Guy, right here on the Africa Tech Kin. Kin, K-I-N, because we say we're a family and technology is what connects us. We'll be right back after this break with some more technology stories right here on ZFM Stereo.
Serving you hits, just the hits.
I got family at the end of the day, that's all I need.
Yo, what's going on? This is Drizzy Drake. This is my station.
Family. Your hit music station.
Z.
Welcome back to the Africa Tech Kin right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. I'm your host, Danny That Guy. And on this show, we pay attention to the world of technology, especially paying attention to our own very country, Zimbabwe, but also regionally in Africa and the world as a whole. We've discussed several tech stories. There's some more to get into, so let's get straight into it, shall we? Let's talk about some cybercrime. This past week, we got news that the ZRP had made a high-profile bust of three tech-savvy fraudsters in Shirugwe who had been accused of stealing $17,000 and 30 million ZIG, or in excess of 30 million Zimbabwe gold. They used a sophisticated cyber fraud and cyber crime techniques, including SIM swapping, to be able to gain control of people's phones. The investigations show that what they did is they targeted victims through phishing emails, data breaches, fake online links. If you were to click on that or to provide your details, what they would then do is use that personal information to get access to your banking services, your EcoCash, Inbox, whatever financial apps that you might have on your phone, and drain your accounts. They had done this in at least 29 cases, and the police were looking for them, and they nabbed them out in Shirugwe this past week. Now, phishing schemes are a really scary thing that's increasing in frequency that we see in the world of cybercrime. With these people, what they were doing is, in these fake emails, they would be asking you to click on a particular link or to enter your password. And once they got access to those passwords, they were hacking systems and draining accounts. And probably you might know of someone who has gone through a similar situation. The suspects also allegedly mined public records, such as registries, to collect personal details so that when they sent through those phishing emails, there was a lot higher likelihood that you would click on that. Huge lesson here. Just the importance of being very careful with where you share your information. Don't just click on that link in your email. Don't just share your password because you think it came through from your banking, online banking. Verify, ensure, turn on two-factor authentication where you can for whatever app that you can do that on. While we're on the realm of cybercrime, last month, Microsoft released their sixth annual Microsoft Digital Defense Report. They pay attention to global cybercrime trends from July 2024 through to June 2025. And this is what they said. They said AI-enhanced phishing now gets a 54% success rate. Over half of AI phishing phishing emails that use AI have success with their victims. That's crazy. TechZim reported on this Microsoft Digital Defense report that the World Economic Forum estimated that the total cost of cybercrime in Africa jumped from $192 million per year to $484 million per year. With these huge amounts, you can expect that you might be targeted. The victims also jumped up from 35,000 to 87,000 in 1 year. One of the methods that they use is called BEC, or Business Email Compromise, where they pretend that they are someone within your company, especially someone of high stature or someone who has a lot of authority, and they send through an email that says something like, process this payment, do this transfer, etc., etc. Well, according to this Microsoft Digital Defense report, BEC, Business Email Compromise, was behind 21% of successful breaches, even though it only made up just 2% of total threats. Scary times. So be very careful of cybercrime. These are fraud situations that are coming up. And with AI, it's become so easy to send you a professional looking email that looks like it's coming from a professional place. And all of a sudden, you're sharing your private information and your accounts get drained. Very careful there. All right. Let's zoom out from Zimbabwe. Let's pay attention to the continent, where some big news happened this past week. The world's most valuable company, Nvidia, which just recently made huge news for becoming the first company to cross the $5 trillion US dollar market cap. Insane numbers that we're talking over here. Well, they have made an investment, a strategic investment this past week into a company founded in Zimbabwe, but now very operational throughout Africa. It's called Cassava Technologies. Now, Nvidia, of course, is the most valuable company in the world because it makes the chips that power AI. And right now, everyone is talking about AI. So Nvidia have spoken about $700 million US dollars that they are putting in to build AI factories in Africa. As part of this partnership with African companies, Cassava Technologies is receiving equipment from Nvidia and investment amounting to thousands of Nvidia's top-tier AI chips to start these AI data centers in South Africa, with plans to also expand into Kenya, Nigeria, and Egypt. Fingers crossed that we're going to get to Zimbabwe as well. A Cassava executive put it perfectly. He says, Africa has historically contended with receiving second-rate technology. So hopefully this is an indication that we are not going for second-rate technology here in Africa. We are trying to keep pace with the rest of the world. Think about what this means for data sovereignty. As African countries, we are sending our data to these American and in some cases European AI companies and various data companies. But now, if we are able to start our own data centers in our own countries here in Africa, we can have sovereignty over our own data for banks, startups, technology companies here in Africa. Powered in Africa, hosted in Africa, using African data with African context. It hopefully addresses the compute gap that exists, because as of now, Africa's dent on the world's data centers is less than 1%. So yeah, that's a big story that's coming through from Nvidia and Cassava Technologies, with big numbers, $700 million US dollars to build AI factories in Africa. What do you think about that? Hashtag Africa Tech Kin, I want to hear. I think this is a big story that is worth discussing. Finally, let's take a look globally. Another very interesting story that I think is also worth discussing. This one comes through from China, where China has just put out a new rule targeted at social media influencers. Here's the story. The internet regulator in China, the Cyberspace Administration of China, or CAC, they announced that they are enforcing laws that prohibit social media influencers from sharing advice on finance, medicine, law, and education, what they call expert topics, unless you have professional credentials to back up your content. So China's social media apps, as you may know, several social media apps do not operate in China. They have their own social media apps. So Bilibili, Douyin, which is China's TikTok version, and Weibo, these massive social media platforms in China, have been told by the regulator that they must start enforcing that if there's any of their influencers talking about expert subjects, they must prove that they studied it or they have a degree or they have expert credentials. Crazy. These creators also have to share or reveal if they have used AI to generate any of their content. And there's also a ban on advertising for supplements, medical services, and similar posts that pose as educational content to sell a product. So what does this mean? Well, if you were in China and you were an influencer that talked about health and wellness, giving medical advice, or giving advice about legal issues, or this is what I did to make money, you have to first prove before you will be allowed to post about that, that you are an expert at what you're talking about. No more fake experts, as it were. Well, online reactions to this news were mixed. Some people praised it. They were so excited at this, or rather viewed it as a reasonable move in this era of such rampant misinformation. The idea that anyone can say anything about everything doesn't make many people feel comfortable. But at the same time, there's conversations about censorship and who's going to make a decision about who's an expert or who isn't an expert. Listen to some of these statements. The ability to have an express or to have and express an opinion is a fundamental right. That being said, it should also be made perfectly clear when someone is or is not qualified to speak on a topic. There's a comment that came through from Reddit. Someone else says, any idiot with a platform can say anything they want and people take them at their word like they're an expert. I see why they're doing it. On the flip side, others have more skeptical views. Next thing you know, we'll need a license to post opinions, said a creator who was speaking on Weibo. They have said that the law will give too much power to authorities to decide individuals who can be counted as an expert. So can you see the debate here? On the one hand, there's so much misinformation from people who claim to be experts who are pushing wrong information out to the public. On the other hand, who's to decide what is wrong and what is right information? Am I not allowed to express my opinion? Just because I didn't study it, does it not mean I have an opinion on this medicine that I took? In my opinion, I think only experts should be allowed to speak about medical fields, but that's a whole other story for another time. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. 0772-168045, or please drop it in the comments below. What do you think of this new Chinese rule that social media influencers, when they're talking about expert topics, specifically in the realm of medical, financial, law, and education, they must prove, first of all, that they have studied it before they talk about it. Is that something that we could implement in Zimbabwe? I wonder. For someone to say, don't take a particular vaccine, you first have to prove that you studied medicine. Maybe that's not such a bad idea. Okay, we've come to the section of our show where we now are proud to bring on our sponsor, the sponsored segment where we take a look at various devices. We call this The Plug with Samsung.
This is The Plug with Samsung.
Welcome to The Plug with Samsung, and once again, thank you so much to Samsung for sponsoring this section of the Africa Tech Kin. This week, we're looking at a brand new device that's built for the hustle. We're talking about the Samsung Galaxy A17. Every week, we're going to look at a different device that's coming through from Samsung and try to see, who is it good for? Could it be good for you? Well, this week, it's for the hustlers out there, the Samsung Galaxy A17. Samsung says that this phone is for everyone who is either juggling a 9-to-5 with a side hustle, or they are full-time grinders trying to push Madiria in you, whatever it is that you're trying to do to manage that non-stop active life. So let's take a look and see what's in the box of the Samsung Galaxy A17. First of all, let's talk about the build of the phone. The build of the Samsung Galaxy A17 can only be described as durable. It's got an IP54 rating, which means it's got good dust and splash resistance. The screen itself is covered in Gorilla Glass Victus. So the glass of the phone itself is scratch resistant and really hard. It's perfect if you're the type of person that throws your phone into your pocket without realizing you got keys and other things in there, or you throw it into your bag without really paying attention to what else is in the bag and you're using that phone on the go. You want something durable, and the Samsung Galaxy A17 delivers on that. What about the screen of the phone? Well, it's a massive 6.7-inch Super AMOLED screen. So your content looks bright, vibrant. It's also got a 90 hertz refresh rate. So it's smooth, buttery smooth. When you're scrolling or when you're browsing, gaming, whatever it is that you're doing on your phone, you can count on that 90 hertz refresh rate screen. For the creators, it's got a good camera system, a 50 megapixel OIS triple camera. What do we mean by OIS? Well, the OIS is where the juice is, where the sauce is. OIS is optical image stabilization. So what that means is when you take photos or videos, you can expect sharp, blur-free photos, blur-free videos. Even if you're moving, you can expect those videos and photos to come out really nice because of that OIS system, the optical image stabilization. Powering this all is a battery that's 5,000 milliamp hours. 5,000 milliamp hour battery is pretty good. Samsung says that this is good for about 18 hours of video playback. So a lot of interesting things to see when it comes to the hardware. Let's move over to the software of the Samsung Galaxy A17. This is where it gets quite interesting. The Galaxy A17 is packed with new AI tech, which is baked natively into the device. This is a new device, by the way. It came out this year. For example, it has the circle to search option. Allows you the opportunity to circle anything on your phone, on your screen. It could be an item, an object, a photo, whatever it is, and you can search for it. There's no need for gatekeeping anymore. Music search, something interesting as well on the phone. Built in natively, you can hum, sing, play a song, and it uses the power of AI, Gemini AI, to find that song for you. In fact, Gemini AI is integrated into the phone itself. It means that you could do things in one step or two steps that would normally take multiple apps. You could search for information, you could send things in a message, add an event to your calendar, set a reminder, all of this in one seamless flow using the AI tools that are available on the phone. This particular phone, the A17, even has a hardware key, a hardware button that you can press to access Gemini instantly. So Samsung are taking AI quite seriously with their new phone. Storage-wise, 128 gigabytes of internal storage as the base model. You can expand that, by the way, to up to 2 terabytes of storage if you want to use an external SD card. This phone is also future-proof. Much like the one we spoke about last week, Samsung have promised 6 major operating system updates and 6 years of security upgrades. So if you buy that phone today, you know that you can keep it and you'll be good for the next 6 years with Samsung continuing to update it and provide security upgrades for it. So it's up to you then to get the Samsung Galaxy A17. It's available in both 5G and LTE, and it comes in black, gray, and blue. However, I must say, if you want to experience the Samsung Galaxy A17, please make sure that you visit an authorized Samsung retailer. This is to ensure that you buy an original, authentic phone, and it also gives you access to the 24-month warranty. So please, only authorized Samsung retailers. We will be compiling a list of the various authorized retailers that are available in the country so that you can have them and be able to access the full list of what's available. So get yourself the Samsung Galaxy A17 in the various configurations that it could be, especially if you're that hustler, that grinder that is looking for the perfect phone partner for you. And make sure you get it from an authorized Samsung retailer. Once again, we want to say thank you very much to Samsung for sponsoring this section of the show. We call it The Plug, where every week we will be plugging you in to a different device that could potentially be the solution that you're looking for in your particular lifestyle. And remember to always buy from an authorized retailer to ensure that you get the quality that you deserve from Samsung.
This is The Plug with Samsung.
And that's our time. What a packed show we had. What a lot of things we covered. I also want to hear your input, your feedback. 0772-168-045 is the WhatsApp number, and I can see it in the studio. Or a far better way is for us to continue the conversation on social media. Please use the hashtag AfricaTechKin. This show is also available on YouTube. You can watch the full show. My non-AI generated face is available on there, or you can listen to it on demand audio on ZFM Stereo Current Affairs podcasts. Don't go anywhere. Current Affairs continues right here on ZFM Stereo. Patience Musa is coming up next with Backstage, and more Current Affairs coming up after her as well. So don't go anywhere. My name's Danny That Guy. It's been a pleasure preparing this show and presenting it to you. We'll catch you again next week. Bye-bye.
Tune in next time for Africa Tech Kin on ZFM Stereo, discussing all things tech.